Because I it makes me feel good to know that God's pleased with me. Right? Been accepted in the Beloved. The Bible says in Isaiah over there, 54, it says, no weapons are formed against thee. And then it says, in righteousness shall thou be established. Well, we've been made right. Right? We're established. We're established in Him. And it says, no weapons formed against us will prosper. And I was thinking about it today. I was thinking how back when I got saved and everything and started, you know, getting to know the Lord. How many knows we're getting to know the Lord? After 30 years, I'm still getting to know God, you know, because He's so vast and all of that. But thinking back, you know, way back down there, 27 years old and just come out of the world and, you know, and come out of a family of 17. I'm telling you this for a reason, and didn't think that I would, you know, ever have anything to, you know, with it, you know. And so I get saved, and then I begin to get to know God. I begin to get to know God through the Word of God. You get to know God through your relationship, but the Word of God, you know. And just like, you know, me and Tracer were states apart, and I'd send letters, and, you know, I'd write a letter every day and send her, you know, missing her and all of that stuff. But, you know, that was a part of getting to know her, you know, releasing my feelings and emotions and all of that the way we do with God. We commune with Him. And I began to find out in the Bible that God wanted to prosper me. And I never just thought about it as money, you know. And I began to find out, like John 10:10, put that up there, Beth. How many knows God has a plan for all of us? Jeremiah 29:11, He says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, the plans that I have towards you, says the Lord. To do you good and not evil, that you would have hope for the future, that you would have a good ending. And I was telling one of my brothers yesterday, we was talking, I think it was yesterday, but I was telling him, I said, you know, I said, I used to believe God, you know, that I would come to the place to where we had more than enough, like this says. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. We're not even on him because he's been defeated. But I'm come, Jesus said, that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus come to give us life in abundance. And the word abundant there means to the full, till it all. I don't care if you've never experienced it, this word is true. If somebody can go their whole life and never experience it, that don't make this not true. But those that do, those that ask, and those that don't waver, James said not to waver when we ask him for wisdom or, you know, or whatever. He said, don't waver. He said, and then he goes on, he said, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And the Lord spoke to me one time, and the Lord said, you've got to work on not being double-minded. You believe me one day, and the next day things change, and you quit believing me. You believe in something else. That's double-minded. He said, that person is unstable in all of his ways. He'll be unstable in everything. And if you're there or you've ever been there, you know, and I have to keep myself in check, in line with the Word of God, and you walk your way up to a place of victory and don't back down off of it. You know, I mean, you get victory, you take a stand and you stand. You stand and just believe God, hallelujah. Well, that word abundant means to the full, till it overflows, nothing broken, nothing missing. That word means a lot. Jesus, and when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. And I was telling my brother, I said, you know, I said, people have called me a faith fanatic. I said, they've called me all kinds of stuff, you know, Jesus freak, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, religion, you know, and all of that. I said, you know what I did? What? I said, I didn't listen to none of them. I said, I've always tried to make sure that what I believe is in line with the Scriptures, and then I'm going to lay hold of it. I'm going to lay hold of it. So I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I got dreams. And somebody said the other day, they said, I need $2.2 million before I can obey God in what I want to do. And I thought, what? You better be, you got to have faith before you get to 2.2. And I was just listening to it, and I thought, no, you gotta believe it in. If it's gonna take whatever you say to do what God wants you to do, then it's not your, that's not, you gotta go after God, you gotta believe God, sow your seeds. If you want God to move in your life, if you want this abundant life to the full, till it overflows, I'm talking about in your finances, in your body, in your marriage, in your, you know, this covers every arena of our life. And Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished. See, that's why Satan don't want you in faith. He don't want you believing God every day. He don't want you stay. He don't want that creative miracle to happen. He wants people to look impossible. Their situation looked impossible. But the Bible says all things are possible to them that believes. Well, now there's only way to get that kind of believing. Faith is just a strong confidence. Strong confidence in God is all faith is. Faith is the force of God. It is the confidence that is put on the inside of me and you that we can believe that the Red Sea can roll back. We can believe that our enemies will be crushed in the red. We can believe that God will take us to the promised land because his word says it. I told my brother, he's telling me, he said, man, I complain too much based on what you're saying. I said, stop it. I said, stop that. I said, I've been preaching that for two or three, you know, sermons or four at church. I said, I'm not going there preaching to them people. I said, that's God unrolling and saying, look what happened to them with their complaining. They were not pleasing to God, the Bible says. They displeased him out there because that's unbelief, you know. And I said, stop it. He said, I was just complaining about my back hurting. Stop it. Stop it. Don't confess that stuff, you know. Call those things that be not as though they are. We all have body aches at times, okay? We all have, you know, we don't feel good at times, all right? I'm sure everybody. Now, I know some of them out there, they're like, nah, I ain't never got discouraged, never. Been serving the Lord 40 years, and I'm like, he ain't been serving God, I know, because there's a devil after that God out of me, you know. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I thought, oh, well, praise the Lord. I've been discouraged. I've been bitten by the serpent many times. I've come short many times. Fact of the matter, back there when I was 20-something, about 28 years old, you know, I would be doing good until something didn't go my way, and then I'd just come unglued, you know. I'd just fall prey to the enemy, fall prey to my circumstances, fall prey to my mind, just like I always had, you know. And I'm reading in Proverbs. I heard this preacher say one time. He said you want to be wise. He said then read a chapter of Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters. He said you can read a chapter every day for a month, you know. And he said it's the book of wisdom. And I thought, wow, man, if I want to be wise, well, I started reading. Well, I come across this scripture in there. It says, if you fall in the time of adversity, your strength is weak. And when I saw that scripture, I thought, I'm weak. I'm just weak. And then the Holy Spirit, he said, build up those weak areas. Build them up. Work out, you know. And so I thought, all right, praise God, I'm going to have to work out. That's why a lot of Christians don't experience God's grace. God's grace is God's ability. That means I used to be angry. I'm not an angry man anymore. That means I used to get mad quick, and I can walk in the patience that God has put on the inside of me. I don't have to come unglued. And you know what you do? You'll get built up, and you'll begin to walk in wisdom, and you'll begin to deal with the issues with wisdom, with boldness and strength and not anger. It'll just work to your good that way. Then you'll be like, man, I was in authority in that. It's because you yielded to the Spirit. You yielded the right way, praise God. Well, John 10:10 says that Jesus come that we might have life and have it more abundant. You know, my mom, she was on a fixed income. I think it was $600-something a month is what she lived off of. And can't nobody live off of that, man. I mean, not even back 10 years ago, man. I mean, you know. And so the Lord told me, he said, I want you to go minister. And she'd been in and out of church her whole life. How many knows that don't matter? It's not what you know that gets you benefits. It's what you do with what you know. It's what you do with the Word of God. That's why Jesus said, pay attention to what I hear. For the measure that I use will be measured back to me and multiplied. You know? And so he said, go teach your own tithing. I thought, she knows about tithing. I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, she, you know, let me pay her tithes. I'll pay $65, whatever it was, a month, you know. And he said, you can. He said, but it won't do her no good. He said, because it's not about the money. He said, it's about the heart. He said, I want her trusting me in the finances instead of leaning on what she's trusting in deeper. Now, she loved the Lord, and I don't doubt it. You know, well, anyways, I go down there, and she gets all upset. So if a word ever comes to you, you know, and it's like Samantha, she punched me in the face or whatever. You know, don't get bent out of shape. The word is good for correction and instruction, and it even rebuke at times. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the ones that he loves, he's going to chastise. He's going to prune. He's going to bring things up. He's going to illuminate things that are standing in our way of experiencing God. So don't get all bent out of shape when God begins to deal with y'all in school, girls, about being nice, sweet, about liking that unlikable teacher, praying for that unlikable teacher. Instead of getting in that mode, they're just like we are. They got their circumstances. They got challenges in school. Aubrey's every day got a reason we minister to her, you know, and keep her in a right spirit. She's 9. I mean, man, she's in the fourth? And I mean, she deals with issues and she deals with attitudes with other kids and, you know, maybe them that don't serve the Lord. Maybe them that they do are took to church, but they're really not taught, you know, how to walk in the Spirit and all of that, you know. So all the y'all young ones, y'all serving Jesus too. This is for you. Abundant. God wants abundant life for you in school. Aubrey told me one day, she said, Papa, I didn't do good on it. Something about that math stuff. And it was a bad grade, and it's hard for her to do it, you know, can't figure it out or whatever. And I just looked at her, and I said, you know what that bad grade is, baby? And she said, what? I said, that tells you you can do better. I said, you can do better than that. I said, and God's going to help you do better than that. Hallelujah. What am I doing? Teaching her to do and lean on the Lord to be successful down there in the fourth grade. And then you work that success in them, because greater is he that is in them too than he that is in the world. You know, and so taught the things of God has a plan. See, these young girls and young boys, they're not even thinking about 15 years down the road. They're just living right now. You know, but 15 years is coming, and they're gonna meet people and different things and all of that. But Satan's gonna try to hook y'all up and get y'all, get your future not bright. Hallelujah! But it's not gonna happen, because look where y'all at tonight. You're in the house of the Lord, and you're gonna serve Jesus, and I'm gonna serve Jesus. But that abundant life, you know, God. But anyhow, I went on, you know, and I was telling him, I said they called me a lot of stuff. I said, and I checked my heart all the time back then to see if I was okay with the Lord and the way that I was believing and what I was seeing and if it was right or not, because they was more against it in the arena that I was in than they was for it. You know, it's like, to me, I look back at it and I'm like, faith wasn't very common in the arena of Christians that I knew, you know, but see, that's not where my strength was coming from. My strength was coming from the Lord. And so I was checking my heart, you know, and I told my brother, I said, you know what? I said, they've said a lot about, I said, but all of it works. I said, I walked through and I didn't listen to the enemy. I didn't listen to the unbelieving Christians. I didn't listen to the ones that didn't have their mind renewed to the Word of God and standing on the Word of God. I didn't listen. I said, I'm not downing them and I'm not going to judge them. I said, but I'm telling you right now, I said, I'm standing where I've been believing for back under at 28 years old. I'm in it. Now, Samantha, it might have took a while. You know, some things take a while. That's why we don't give up. We endure. We walk through and we endure. Give me that 1 John, Beth. 1 John 5:4. It's for whosoever is born of God. Are you saved? Everybody saved tonight? Hallelujah, born again? That's you. It says, if you're born again, you overcome the world. You overcome all of that. That anger in school, that, you know, I'm not just on y'all young ones, but you're going to have this trouble in school. You're going to have it. You're going to have cliques in school. I hooked up in school one time. He was my best friend, and I never really thought about, you know, spitting toilet paper on the walls and getting it wet and slamming it on everything till I got around him. And then we getting in trouble about every other day. Going to the principal, I told you about getting paddled, you know, by the coach, praise the Lord. But you know what? I was influenced. I can't blame it on him. But then when I get born again, then the Bible says, come out from among the world and be ye separate. It says, be you separate. And he said, and I'll be your God and you'll be my people, praise the Lord. But he says here, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory. This is why faith is so important. That overcomes the world, even our faith, our confidence in God. Well, I went on my mom, boy, you know, God knows my heart. I can't afford to tithe. And I'd go down there every now and then and I'd tell her, Mom, you know, you've been thinking about tithing? Oh, boy, God knows my heart. God knows it. And yes, and I wanted to tell her, yes, he knows it's not trusting him. He's trying to get you to walk out on faith. You can't afford it. It looks like you can't afford it. You've not got enough now. You know, I would tell her that. So that's what faith is, Mom. Faith is stepping out and trusting something you can't see. Someone, his name is Jesus, that he will bring you John 10:10. That he will bring you that abundant life. And you know what? It wasn't too long down the road, she called up Teresa. Teresa, that's my wife. She paid all her bills and stuff like that, took care of all that stuff for her. And she called her and said, don't even ask me, just send a tithe check to my church. So my mom started tithing, and I'm telling you, I could absolutely see not long down the road things would happen for my mom. Blessings started taking place. And when my mom left here and all her bills was paid, I don't remember how much it was, every one of her kids got a check. They got money after, you know. Well, that abundant life began to pour out into her life, and she didn't need nothing. I had to call her one time. I said, Mom, I said, you're going to have to spend some money. You know, it's going to mess with your check. Well, I mean, how much I got? I don't remember how much it was. Well, just bring me 20. I said, you need to spend more than 20. That's all she wanted, $20, man. She had everything she needed, praise God. Well, I got to experience, why I'm saying that is because I got to experience that, and it caused me to realize in that situation that I went down there and I ministered the word of God. Well, how does faith come, Romans 10:17? It comes by hearing, right? So she was hearing the word. She was hearing the word. And I wasn't doing it in a condemning way. I wasn't, because he's not like that. He wants us willingly doing whatever he's telling us to do with our heart. Our heart. That's what it's all about, you know. But I got to experience that and I thought, man, if he can do that for a widow woman, a broke widow woman, man, what could he do with me, praise God? Then I started believing God to increase me on my job, increase me, open doors that no man has shut. I read it in Revelations. He said, I'll open doors that no man shuts, and I'll shut doors that no man can open. And you know, I'd been to jail before, and God wanted me to go to the jail and preach. And I hadn't been saved very long, probably about 3 or 4 or 5 months, and I don't know how long it's been since I've been in jail, several times over 27 years, you know. And he wanted me to go to Blount County down there. And I thought, man, I don't know about that. You know, all them jailers know me, man. I mean, they've, you know, we've been in trouble, you know. My whole family was notorious for being in trouble back in the day. My dad was, he run moonshine through there and outrun the cops in a hearse, believe it or not. I mean, he's running moonshine. He's selling moonshine back down there. And so anyways, I told my brother, we was going to work one day, and I told him, I said, take me down to the county jail. I ain't going down there. I ain't going down there. I said, I'm going in there to preach. He said, you can't get in there. I said, I'm going in there to preach. I said, God told me that he wants me to go down there and preach. Well, it was against all odds. I'm not just telling you a story. I'm telling you whatever's against all odds in your life that God is saying, well, you can have a baby. You can have less work, more money. You can have it. You can have it. Faith comes by hearing. Well, when faith comes, don't just lay it down. Just pick it up and say, glory to God, that's me. When you hear a testimony of a creative miracle, you just say, glory to God. If you need one, I'm next, Lord. Or so-and-so needs one, release your faith for them. Because that testimony comes, faith comes by hearing. Just like I'm kind of giving my testimony right now a little bit, you know, and praise God. I mean, I'm down there, and my mind is telling me that it will never happen for you. I remember it vividly. And I had to get it in my heart that it will happen because God said it will happen. He will prosper me, and I'm not going to back off on it. Well, I went down there to the jail, you know, and he's like, yeah, what do you need, Weston? I'm like, man, that didn't even sound good. I said, I want to come down here and preach. He said, preach? Yeah, I said, I need to see the sheriff. I'm going past the jailer now. I need to see the sheriff because he ain't going to matter right now, you know. So the sheriff comes out there, you know, and son, can I help you? And I said, yes, sir. I said, the Lord wants me to come down here and preach the gospel. He looked at me like, are you serious right now? You can just see it on his face. And he said, you know, come down here and preach. I said, yes, sir. I said, I've got saved and Jesus is my Lord. And I want to come tell these people about this Jesus that I got born again with. I got saved. And I knew I'm saved, and I'm confident in it. And I done found out he's with me. You know? Well, they give me a bunch of paperwork, and I left out of there. Now, see, it can be the doctor's report, or it can be the way it looks in your family, or it can be things that's been done to you, heard or said. You know, whatever it is. But I felt defeated. I felt like they made it almost impossible. I had a stack of papers, man. You know, I got to the door, and I'm fixing to open the door going out, and the Lord asked me, he said, how bad do you want it? Like that, you know, because I felt discouraged. He knows how you feel. God knows your thoughts from afar. You know, and I just honestly felt crushed. I felt, and I believe a lot of that was demonic spirits. It wasn't because they were ill towards me or anything. The expressions on their face, I mean, I had them too, I'm sure. I'm serious, whatever. Well, and I opened the door and went out, and the Lord said, if you want it, you're going to have to fight for it. And that's when I realized as a young Christian, the will of God is not going to just be handed to me most of the time. Whether it's prosperity, whether it's my marriage, whether it's my relationship, you know, or whatever it's going to be, it's not just going to be handed to me. And then I go to church, and I go up to let Bradley pray for me, and he starts telling me things. You know, he started telling me things. He started prophesying over me. Then he stopped, and he opened his eyes, and he said, all these things are conditional that God's saying to you. They're going to be up to you whether God is able to do these or not. And I thought, man, why can't he just pour it on me? Why can't he just do it? Why can't he just... See, I didn't understand that God needs you and me in this earth taking ground because he's in the heavens. Jesus is on the right hand. The Holy Spirit's down here for us. And the Bible says, Jesus said, great works that I do, but greater works that you'll do because I ascend to the Father. But see, we got to get our mind renewed to the Word of God, because we're familiar with all of our shortcomings. We're familiar with our background. We're familiar. We trained ourselves like the world if we were in the world and didn't even realize it. If we're always defeated, we trained ourselves that way, that's just our lot in life. But once we get born again, we got to renew our mind. And I don't think, I told somebody one time, they said something, you know, and I said, that wasn't me, smoking pot with them. Well, I found out in church that I was a new creation through the Word of God. He preached the Word of God, and then Brad said, he said, you can say somebody you used to party with, and he said, and you get with them, and they say, yeah, you remember that, and you can say, that's not me. That wasn't me. I'm a new creation. Well, that was a revelation to me. I thought, glory to God. I got to identify with the new man. I've got to identify with this new life. I've got to identify. So I got to identify with prosperity now instead of poverty. I got to identify with success instead of defeat. I've got to identify with endure hardship as a good soldier and not quit and surrender every time things gets hard. Well, I did for a long time, a pretty good period of time, you know. But little by little, I would get up. The Bible says a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he'll get up. You make mistakes. You make wrong choices, you know. You miss it, hallelujah. Well, you don't fold and quit. You get up. You say, glory to God, I repent, Lord. I'm going forward. Devil, you might have got me with that. That might not look good, praise God, but greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. And I am destined to succeed. I am destined to be wealthy. I am destined to have a good marriage. My kids are not going to fall prey to the devil. See, we have authority. But see, if we're down here defeated and we're identifying with what we used to be and our ability and our past and all of that stuff, we're not going to move on in that new man. We're not going to move on in that boldness. The Bible says the righteous are bold. It don't say they're mean and ugly and, you know, and smart and all of that. It says the righteous are as bold as a lion. That means that we don't cow down. Now, I'm not talking about with flesh and blood now, really. You know, let people say what they say. Let them do what they do, you know. And don't base, I was telling one of my other brothers, I said, you remember when me and you and the other brother were standing here, I won't call names because most of them are listening. And I'm trying to help myself here, help them, I mean. But I don't care. I got to tell what God does. You know, it is what it is. So anyways, I remember that. I said, I walked away from that, from where we were standing. I said, I felt so defeated. I said, I felt so discouraged. I said, I really honestly wanted just to quit. What's the use of serving God? This is about 2007-8 or something. We was facing some major trials, me and Teresa, in a lot of areas. You know, ain't getting into all of it. But it don't matter what you're facing. You got to keep moving forward. Well, I get about halfway to the house, and I told him, I said, I got about halfway to the house. I said, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me. And he said, you never believe based on your experience. You never believe based on somebody else's experience. He told me, he said, you believe based on the Word. I said, and I realized that I had let those testimonies and those words, I had let them override the Word. I'd let them in a moment. See, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and helps us. He's our helper. You know, and I mean, I stopped and I stood there and I thought, man, that's the Lord speaking to me. And I mean, the minute that I acknowledged that that was the Lord and my mind went to that, I felt good on the inside. Why? Because I was turning away from that. And I had revelation. Revelation had come to me. So I didn't really know what the Lord meant. See, now what that means to you and what that means to me is you don't go based on your experience what you're going to be able to do and have in God. I done told God about this building. I mean, I'm a dreamer. They're cleaning off that land over there about 10, 12 years ago, praise the Lord. And I'm like, glory to God. One day that may be our parking lot. You know, because it stops down close to this house, and man that cleaned it off, he's done dead and gone. You know, and I thought, you know, that's going to be ours one day, praise the Lord, because the Lord ain't telling me. He told me to use what I have, and that was this building right here. You know, when that person was saying, I need 2.2 before I can do what God says, I thought, you ain't going to never do what God says, because we need probably that here. I mean, if we're going to take this building down, that's the only thing I can see right now. And I'm not saying God showed me, but I tell the Lord every time I walk around this, God, just tell me what to believe for. See, that's what you need to be saying. God, just show me what to believe. Just give me a word. Give me a word for my marriage. Give me a word. Give me a word for my finances. I'm on a fixed income. Give me a word where I'm not fixed anymore. See, you're never strapped if you're believing God. You can always increase. My mom told me, she said, well, the government ain't going to give me a raise. I said, oh, yes, the government will. I said, you believe God? I said, the government ain't got no choice but to start giving his people raises if that's the way he wants to bring it. But I told my mom, I said, it don't always have to come through your paycheck, Mom. Mine don't. I said, I believe in God. I'd tell her. Remember when I was believing God and somebody drove up and gave me $500? Somebody called me. I'm believing, releasing my faith, believing God to prosper me and increase. And I'm not putting pressure on people. Look, faith don't put pressure on people. Faith believes God. Faith is a confidence in God, you know. And so I was bent on not telling anybody and all that. I'm going to believe God, praise God. He saved me from committing suicide, so I know he can do this. He can roll back. That's what reading your Bible does for you. Then you get in your circumstances, and that word will come back, and you'll be like, man, he rolled back the Red Sea. David killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands, hallelujah. Then he got up to that Philistine, and it's defined. How many knows that the enemy comes against you in your mind, some giant in your life, something that looks impossible, some unexpected thing happens in your life, and his voice, he'll just tell you in thoughts, you're defeated. God's not going to do it this time. It's not going to work out. Don't get into trying to figure things out. You just release your faith and believe God. Hallelujah. And I told my brother, I said, you know what? I said, I believe God one time, praise God. I said, he told me if I would serve him, and he ain't no respecter of persons. He told me at 27 years old, sitting on my step, couldn't figure out nothing, didn't know nothing about God other than he saved me, but he's real. I knew he was real. I couldn't understand the Bible when I read it, but I would read it anyhow because I heard preachers say, man, you need to read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. And I'd read the Word, wouldn't get no understanding out of the Word of God, period. I'm talking about month after month. But every time I would go to church, something would stick out to me. He would preach on something that I'd read that meant nothing to me, and I would underline it. And even had people tell me, don't write in that Holy Bible. I'm telling you right now, God wants you to. You underline it. You highlight it. I mean, when you flip to it, I flip back to it, and I'm like, oh, there's that revelation. There's what man God spoke to me there. That first time I got rid of my first Bible, I thought, oh, my God, I can't get rid of all this revelation that I've, you know, I mean, you know. And then I'd get a new Bible, and I'd be like, well, I'm not going to go copy it again. It's going to be another experience here, you know. Praise the Lord. But see, the enemy, and I told him, I said, the Lord said if I would serve him, he would bring me to a place to where I lack nothing. I preach that here, and God is no respecter of persons. It's not because I had great faith, Mac. It's because I knew Jesus. It's because I was willing, you know, to believe him in my marriage. I was willing when I run over somebody's, you know, lawnmower down there. We couldn't afford to fix it. And he told me, no, don't worry about it. Just don't, man, don't worry about that. It's scratched up in here. That satisfied me. I go home and I tell Teresa, oh, no, we can't do that. We got to fix that lawnmower. And it almost made me mad because I'm like, how are you going to afford it? It was $100. The parts was $175. Back there, I was in 1993 or 4 or 5 or somewhere there. You know. And I just had, you know, coming up believing God. But I've made up my mind. Hallelujah. I made up my mind. You know, I'd read the scripture where the Apostle Paul says, swear to your own hurt and change not. And I studied that. I thought, what does that mean? You know, and I studied into it and looked up the Greek words and different things. And what I come to the conclusion out of the Word of God, even if it costs you to do the right thing, do the right thing. That's what I got. That's the revelation I got out of that word by studying it. And then I thought, that's the right thing. I wish I didn't know that scripture right now. I wasn't jumping up and down. But you know what, praise God? We just believe God. Hallelujah. And you know what? God brought the money in for us. That was the first believing for finances that I can remember experiencing it. To where He brought that money in. And we fixed that. And on top of that, later on, his wife told Teresa, you know, that he said they won't never fix it. Well, he got fooled. God heard him say that. God heard him. And God like, nah, I'm going to show you they're going to do the right thing. So then he has your wife or your husband or your neighbor or whoever speaks it to you. God has a million ways of getting things to us. And we usually know on the inside, hallelujah, that's what God wants. See, and when that happens, that's the will of God. See, it's God working in you to prosper. It's God working in y'all to want a child, want a baby. Praise God. I don't want Him to work that in me right now. So He won't. He give me desires of my heart, hallelujah. Praise God. I raised Travis and got him out of the house, and we're pretty happy. You know, Tuesday night ain't too bad, hallelujah, praise God. And then we're free night. Our free night's the rest of the week. We spent 18 years and no free nights hardly. Hallelujah, praise God. So enjoy your free nights. But anyways, praise the Lord. See, that was my first really experience in God, and I thought, man. And then I'm reading in there. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 10, I told one of my brothers, I said, I'm there. I said, I'm asking God, how do I show me how to let my stuff work for me? See, I'm in a new place. You're in a new place. You're going to a new place. That's why He's building you up now. He was building me up down there. He was started building me up, getting me to stand on biblical principles, biblical truths, trusting Him. I don't have faith in the Word of God, though I know the Word of God is alive, according to Hebrews 4:12, living, powerful, sharp. That's why Satan don't want us going to church and hearing it and hooking ourselves. I come in the other day, and I'd battled a lot that day, Mac. Sometimes, you know how it is, you've been in business. Some days can be heavier than other ones, you know. And you dealt with a lot of problems that day and on a Monday and all that. I think it was on a Monday. And I thought to myself, you know, I dealt with a lot of stuff that morning and different things, you know. And I get home, and me and Teresa, we try to watch a movie together periodically, you know. And she'd go watch a movie. And so I told her, I said, well, it's going to be a little bit. So I get my headphones on, and I look up me a sermon with Keith Moore. You know, the movie's not going to help me. Nothing wrong with the movie. But the movie's not going to help me. When I feel like I need strength, then I need to go to Him. And not just pray. Need to pray, you know. But you deciding to put you on a good sermon, how does faith come? By hearing, right? Iron sharpens iron, right? Well, I hook myself up. About 35 minutes later, I'm like, I'm ready now. Put my phone down, pull my headphones on. Prayed God, felt a lot better, hallelujah. Strengthened on the inside. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, it says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in troubles and trials and adversity and sickness and all of that. It will sustain him, hold him up, strengthen him. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let the weak say that I'm strong. You know, and I was telling my brother, I said, you know, I said, we unconsciously do it sometimes. I said, but we got to learn never, ever, ever, ever to complain. Never. get complaining completely away from us. I said, there won't be nothing left then but faith. When the complaining's gone, the unbelief's gone. When the complaining gone, the fear's gone. Because all of that is not leaning on Him. All of that is leaning and yielding to the feelings and emotions or circumstances or all that. And then that stops Him. I told Him, I said, you know what? I said, God could not take them to the promised land. I said, and Jesus went down to His own hometown and He couldn't do no mighty miracle, couldn't do no miracles. Jesus. I said, and the Bible's clear about why He couldn't. It says because of their unbelief. Just a few folk could He touch. Just a few. And so that's why faith is so vital to us. Faith is your victory. You can't be down on yourself all the time and be in faith. You can't look at all the things that need changes in your life all the time and get sad and discouraged and come out. That won't happen. You got to look unto Jesus while you're in, while you're still looking unto Him, turning to the Word of God, and before you know it, you will learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. And it said the victory in that right there. Faith is simple. This is how simple faith is. It's a choice. It's a choice to believe. When people don't choose to believe, they say, well, you just don't understand my circumstances. You just chose not to believe. You chose to believe a lie. You chose to believe your circumstance. You chose to believe your feelings. You chose to believe your emotions. You chose to believe that. And you just made a fear-based choice, an unbelief-based choice. But believing is simply saying, God, Your Word says this, and I believe it. And you make your mind up, praise God, and then you cast down the thoughts that got you not to believe, and you believe it. Victory is an act of defeating an enemy or opponent in battle. Faith, strong confidence in Him, is an act of defeating an enemy or opponent in battle. Faith is that victory. That confidence is what defeats that enemy in battle. It means, and another word for it, it says success. Now, Proverbs 10:22 is mine. It belongs to me. God wrote it to me. I told Aubrey the other day, I said, baby, I said, that Bible is a letter from God to you. It is, Papa. And I said, it sure is. I said, He wrote that to you. That's a letter like you would write. I said, that's God's letter to you. Well, it is. It's a love letter, praise God. Hallelujah. For God so loved. Hallelujah. And it's instruction for life. Hallelujah. Well, it means an act of defeating an enemy or opponent in battle. And I thought about it. I thought I took that scripture. I meditated on that scripture until I could quote that. Most scriptures I read to you, I don't have to read them. I can just quote them. I can tell you where they're at and everything they say pretty much. Hallelujah. And that's not, I didn't do that to learn to preach. I didn't do that to preach. I did that in my struggles. I did that in my shortcomings. I did that in all my failures as a Christian. I did that when I didn't feel like I could make it. I did that when it was hard to believe that God would prosper me over $220 a week. I did that meditation on the Word in times when my marriage was jacked up from the floor up, in times when my relationships with my family wasn't good, and I decided that I'm going to do the will of God, and I'm going to stay in the right spirit, and I'm going to be the peacemaker. My sister was mad at me one time, and I said, I know how to do this, praise God. Paul said, overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome with evil. Don't let that take it up and take offense, you know, but overcome evil with good. So I called my sister, one of my sisters up, and I said, where you at? I mean, the voice wasn't good and all that, you know. And I said, all right, well, could you meet me at Cleveland? And I gave her $100. Man, I don't reckon, as far as I know, she's ever been mad at me again. $100. Why? Because I decided that faith is the victory. And victory is defeating that opponent, not my sister. Because we don't wrestle against, don't get caught up in that who does something and keeping account wrong done to you. You got to work on all that stuff to where none of that moves you. None of that moves you, just the word moves you. Your emotions is not going to move you. You got them. God gave them to us. We're like him. He feels. He's moved with the feeling of our infirmities, right? He felt them. We're like him. We're created in his image and likeness. But he's not ruled by none of that. He's ruled by faith. Jesus was ruled by faith. Paul was ruled by faith. After he got born again, began to walk with God, he convinced, he's the one wrote all of this good stuff that we're reading, how to stand and cast not away our confidence. You know, when he's talking about Hebrews over there, 35 or whatever it is, I don't forget now. But anyways, he's not talking to people that ain't been through something. He's talking to people over there that had went through hardship and followed God and been you know, persecuted and all kinds of stuff. He was talking to people that had some battle scars. And then he was telling them, don't cast away your confidence. Don't throw it away now. Don't throw it away. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of rewards. And we see all through the hall of faith. If you believe in for your marriage and you're in faith and you won't come out, reward comes after that. If you're believing for God to prosper you and you won't back down from it, you know, the reward is going to come to you because of your faith. I mean, all of them, Abraham, he had to have faith to go up and tie his son down on an altar. That was faith, man. And that tells me, praise God, hallelujah, that is a supernatural force that overrode his emotions, that overrode, and it caused him to be obedient. He chose, though. He chose to do it. He knew God spoke to him. Well, that means that he trusted what God had told him before that. You know? And so, just like the new church, we've released our faith, I don't know, 10, 12, 15, a long time ago. And I feel like it's almost here. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you just tell me what you want. Just tell me what you want. I know you're able. I know you're willing, and I know I will stand, and I will believe. And I know there will be obstacles. There will be obstacles with the city. There will be obstacles with the mayor. There will be obstacles, you know, with the people around, there'll be obstacles. Lord, I'm used to obstacles, but I'm used to victory. You know, just like with Teresa's truck, I didn't want out of that. I mean, I'm believing God. I mean, it sounds like nothing to somebody else, but it was my trial, and it was my faith, and it was my joy, and it was my worth it. Hallelujah. Victory is an act of defeat, and I thought about it. I thought, you know what? I learned that poverty wasn't of the Lord. I learned that through the Bible, that Jesus took poverty on him that his people would be made rich. And I laid hold of that. That's my too. That's my scripture. Now, I don't go after money because Jesus said in there that you can't serve two masters. You have to get your mind renewed to the Word of God, that your mind is after the will of God and your heart is after the Lord, and it's not you're not doing it for selfish gain and all of that. You're doing it because it's the will of God, and you are set, dead set, you are going to prosper. And so, see, I defeated poverty through faith, through God's Word, believing. Faith came to me when I read that Jesus, and I'd go around and I'd tell preachers, you know, I'd tell ministers and Christians, you know, and I'd be like, Jesus took poverty on and broke it for us. And they're like, what? I'm like, you ain't never heard that. It's in the Bible. It is in the Bible. See, and I thought, why don't every Christian know that? And all the conclusion I could come to is those that seek, find. Those that knock. Those that lay in their bed and ask God, God, if it's for me, God, show me. God, tell me. Speak to me. What do you want to do, God? What do you want me to do, God? Hallelujah. Those is where the revelation comes. He begins to reveal. And you know what? I understand a lot in the Word now. You can't hardly confuse me with doctrine. You know, sound doctrine belongs to those. Strong meat belongs to those who have their senses exercised. They know good and evil. They know Scripture quoted out of a wrong spirit. They know that when it's the Spirit of God, it bears witness in there. See, that's how come I felt so discouraged standing with those people, you know, and they were just going over, they didn't mean no ill will, they were just going over their experience and blah, 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 and saying stuff, you know, that was contrary to the Word of God, and that's what grieved me. I didn't really understand, Johnny, at that time. Why do I feel this way? You know? But I learned something from it. When I got down away from them and they left and God spoke that to me and I changed my mind and thinking and all of that. And I thought, man, I got to stay believing according to the Word no matter how I feel. See, I knew it, Johnny, but I hadn't been in this deep of a battle before. And this, I was in a deeper battle than I'd ever been in. And I believe when you're in deeper battles, I believe that spiritual warfare is turned up. That's why you got to put your praise on. That's why you got to praise Him in the storm. That's why if you can't find it to praise Him on your own, turn you some praise music on. Get your mind off of all of that stuff, you know, and learn how to encourage yourself. I'll be going down the road, and my mind wants to run off on everything, keep me busy running and doing my mind, you know, and I'll be like, man, I'm shutting this mind off. I'll turn the radio on, and I'll get focusing on singing. I'll be like, you're not going to flood my mind all day with not even bad stuff. Work, I mean, hurry, go, dude, you know, and all of that stuff. Psh, turn it on. You're not going to do that because, see, He's after the Word. So I want to encourage you. You know, I was going to go on down. Temptations are going. You know what a temptation is? A temptation is something that comes to you to do something wrong. Get mad at somebody. You know, shoot them a bird. Cuss them out. Christian, I know some Christians cuss. You know, I can if I want to. I just choose not to. You know, I just don't want to cuss. But, I mean, I've caught them nearly on my tongue and go, dip, you're not coming out. That's not me. You know, praise God. So I want to encourage you. Believe God. Believe Him big. Dream. No matter what it looks like. I mean, here I am, you know, and I mean, pastors are, some of them have got discouraged because people won't come to church and all of that stuff, you know. And I tell them, when I get a chance, I tell them to stop looking at that. If two shows up, preach to them. If two shows up, encourage them. You know, minister to them. Learn how to do it when you ain't got a crowd. Learn how to flow with God when you ain't got a crowd. That I learned to do that. And I stay encouraged most of the time because I'm like, it's not about a filled house. It's about the will of God. It's about being faithful in the small things. And then you'll be rulers over much. You know, and it takes a dreamer to look out at and say, man, you know, God, just tell me how you want to build that church. Because we got to have more room. We've not got enough seating room. We've not got enough Sunday school rooms. We've not got enough classrooms. We got to have more food rooms. Hallelujah. You know, and people have told me, man, that's God, he's a fanatic. No, God speaks to you. Noah was a fanatic. Right? Abraham was a fanatic. Get up from here. Get out from among your kinsmen and go to a country. Right? He had to get up everything, give up his life where he had lived, and he'd go into a place he didn't know where he was going, the Bible says. See, they want to call him a fanatic. We call him a man of faith, the father of faith, hallelujah. You know, they wanted to maybe think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was a little bit dumb. Throw me in that furnace, I'm not bowing to that. They might have thought Daniel would be crazy. You know, don't pray, and he opens his window and prays. He wasn't doing it out of defiance. He had been serving God, and he wasn't going to quit. You know? And it got him put into, you know, and I thought, you know what? These guys got the power. They got the power because they chose to go against all odds and serve a God that they couldn't see. Hallelujah. And he showed up, and he put out the fire. It didn't burn them up. He showed up, an angel showed up and shut the lions. That's awesome. Well, you know what? I told my brother, and I was just trying to encourage him. I told my brother, I said, you know what? I said, we're generations on down the road, but we are the children of God. I said, and he's the same God today as he was back down yonder when they were here thousands of years ago. I said, he's not changed. I said, but we got to make sure we don't change with the times and change with our body and change with the way things feel and change, you know, our thinking. I said, because we want to make sure that we get all this delivering power. I said, I believe that I'm healed as I walk with God. I said, I believe healing's working in me all the time. I said, sure, things attach my back. Things attach my chest. Things attach my legs. I said, and all of that, I said, but while we look not at the things that are seen and focus on them and meditate on them, but we look at the things that are not seen. So I want to encourage you. 2025 is going to be a glorious year. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready to close the door on this last 4 years. I am. It's been a rough one. But I mean, a new dawn's arising. A new spirit is coming on through people, pray God. Hallelujah. The ones that God's anointed and appointed, and we are a part of the bunch of the church. And we went through the fire. We went through the flood, so to speak, the last 3 or 4 years or so, praise God. But the Bible says he brought us out to a wealthy place, an abundant place, a good place, hallelujah. And I'm telling you right now, that's where we're on the edge of it. And that's why I believe the last 3 or 4 years, all Jesus kept bringing that up to me. Take it to the church and tell them, occupy, preach that, occupy, work, believe. Then you'll receive, hallelujah, till he comes, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and we thank you.